My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this on Thursday, May 5th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everyone know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe for $3 a month. Hours and hours and hours of bonus content right back there behind the paywall. This is episode 572. I have a super special return guest that you know and love, film critic Tim Hall. How the hell are you, sir?
Sir, I am great. I always enjoy getting a text message from you asking me to be on the show.
Yeah, man, I always appreciate you accepting, because I'm like, there's a new nerd movie coming out that I don't understand, that I have an idea about, and I have general knowledge, and I like for you to break it down to me, for me, and we record them.
You know, it's funny. I wish my mom could hear this and be like, see? All that nerd stuff I watched as a kid, it paid off.
It gives you access to a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
And, like,
what are you reading?
Conversation.
Yeah, right. What do you
mean? I'm sorry this hasn't propelled you higher, Tim.
You know,
One day maybe it will.
We'll call it the Lambert leap.
I get a leap. Something. I mean, some people get the Mundane Festival bump. Like Awkwafina got a Golden Globe.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Jordan Temple, who wrote Trini to the Bone, the episode of Atlanta, and he wrote the Abbott Elementary finale. He's been on the show, Mundane Festival bump. There's been quite a few people. You know, I myself haven't gotten it yet, but and I'm waiting for some of this podcast magic to rub off on me a little bit.
Yeah. You gotta do something weird, like interview yourself.
Maybe I should. Yeah, I should do something like that. But hopefully it'll pay off for you. It'll pay dividends for you one day, where I can just call you a Mundane Festival alum.
Chris, in all seriousness, talking to you about stuff is the payoff. I'm good.
Well, I agree too, man. Ideally, I just wish this was a bigger platform where it could be. If I had like a radio show and I'm like, oh, Tim's here this week and he's going to talk about movies. Like, even Tony Kornheiser used to do it. He used to have a movie critic, used to have Ann Hornaday from the Post. I don't know if he still does that show or not, but you know, just have people, somebody talk about sports. Morgan Campbell, sports.
Yeah.
Tim Hall, movies.
I know what we can do. Yeah. I know how it takes off.
How?
We get on here and we just start bashing anything black.
That's true too. Yeah.
Contrarian. We just say, you know what? Why isn't there a White Panther? That's the whole episode.
Right. Right.
Yeah. We take off.
Talk shit about black women.
Show up on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. Show up on Tucker. Have him on the show.
Yeah. Have him on the show.
And then when it all.
You gotta have Whitlock on. You gotta have Jason Whitlock come
Whitlock,
on.
Whitlock, Outkick. Yeah. Outkick. Yeah. What is it? Outkick Sports? It's there's ways to make it happen.
I couldn't throw open my mouth every time. I couldn't even do that.
I did get solicited to talk to some podcaster. I talked about it like it was maybe a year or two ago, like some dude that had black people on to shit on black people. and I was just like, oh. And then you find out some people, you know, then there's been in like my text chain, mm-hmm. where somebody could say something fucking stupid or racist, and I'm mm-hmm. like, that person's been on my podcast, and they shit, oh, and my buddies shit on me, like my comedian friends, like shit on me for having, like, you know, like I don't know who these people are gonna become when they're not on the show, like that. We were talking about that. I was like, I should do an episode, a Patreon episode, where I just list people that have been on the show that have done problematic shit after they've mm-hmm. been on the show, and have these like controversial topics that don't really align with who I am.
Yeah, that's tough.
So it's like, oh, Jesus.
That's tough, man.
It was one that was pretty bad.
Really?
That was real. I'll tell you off.
Yeah, that's wild.
It was really bad. And like, it was a person that you would randomly not really expect. Like she had been on the show and I had done one of her comedy shows. And she said some wild shit about the abortion leak, you know, that went on the Roe v. Wade, all that stuff. And I was like, whoa. So it goes. We press on episode mm-hmm. 572. I want you here to talk about the Doctor Strange and the what the hell is it called, the multiverse
in the multiverse of madness.
I want to talk to you about that, and we're going to have a spoiler filled discussion. It's probably mainly going to be me asking Tim a lot of questions. But before we get into that, like always when I have somebody of your caliber on the show, I like to ask what you've been watching, whether it be TV or movies. What have you been watching lately that you like?
I'm gonna shake it up, Chris.
Sure.
What I've been reading.
Oh shit.
I've been reading Chuck Klosterman's book, The 90s.
Okay.
It's good. I don't know if you like Chuck Klosterman, but I like his writing style. I love his sort of takes on pop culture. And we're people who lived through the 90s, but I don't think we were, you know, you're not really fully formed. We were kids. So to read things that happened and have a different viewpoint is really fascinating for me to read. Stuff and read about, like reading about Nirvana and sort of Kurt Cobain's position on stuff and sort of the start of the grunge.
Sure.
It's fascinating. So I've been reading that. Mm-hmm. As far as shows, I watched season one of From.
Okay.
You may have heard Ba on the Five Starter podcast talk about it.
I feel like you've told me about it too.
Shout out to the podcast.
Yes. They didn't do a show this week.
They did. Yeah,
is my Spotify, maybe my Spotify is acting up, because I looked down on my Spotify and I was like, no.
Not a show.
Maybe they put it up late, maybe it got posted.
Yeah, maybe it got dropped late.
I see it now. Well, I get to listen to it on my drive home. Okay, all right, my drive to see my mom. All right, good to know, because I was about to go ahead.
It's good. Uh-huh. It's got her journal in it. It's about this town that people keep magically showing up in. And the people in the town are all coming from different places in the U.S., but they all see the same thing. They see a tree on the road. They see crows in the sky. Now, at night, these sort of vampire monsters show up and eat people and kill them. So you have to have this talisman on front of your door to keep them out. So now this whole story, this first season is about this new family that shows up. And they're kind of... It's not that people in town have gotten complacent. They're like, how do we survive? Mm-hmm. Family's like, we're getting the F out of here. Like, we're not staying here. So great first season. They just got renewed for season two. So I'm excited to see what they do with the show. And, but the one thing I... Go ahead.
What network is this on?
It's on Epix. But okay. if you're listening to the sound of my voice, if you go to Amazon, the first three episodes are on there, just to give you an idea of what the show is.
Okay. All right.
The one thing I did want to talk to you about was Winning Time.
Okay, yeah, I like it. I think it's very good. It's fascinating to me that, I guess, you know, these a lot of those guys are folks are still alive. Like Jerry West has a problem. Kareem has a problem with it. Magic has kind of not said much about it because he's got his documentary that I did watch, which is good, but it just kind of, I don't know. I thought it was good because there was stuff that I didn't know about him. I didn't really know much about Magic Johnson, that he was great and he caught HIV and
won some championships.
I didn't know like that relationship with Cookie was that like long. I didn't know that it spanned that many years before they got married. I didn't know about all that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it was interesting.
The show is fascinating because, you know, obviously they take some creative licenses with what they tell and what they say. And
yeah,
like the scene where Dr. J rocks the baby. It's a famous basketball play and it's on Coop, but on the in the show on Magic, because they want to build Magic and Dr. J because they end up facing in the finals that year.
Right.
Lakers win. You know, the whole team is reliant on whether or not they win a championship. The truth is, the entire NBA was kind of in the balance if they didn't have this crazy Celtics-Lakers rivalry. Mm. They were on tape delay. They were saying, and they hit on it like first second episode when they're at the owners meeting, that the league is too black. Like, that was a real thing that people feared. Like, too many. Yeah, we can't sell this to a white audience was the fear.
Yeah.
What I do love is, man, it's so well casted. Like, they haven't missed. Like, everyone, I'm like, oh, man, wow, he killed it. Like, oh, wow, she's good.
It's like that dude was born to play Kareem.
Oh, for real.
Solomon, what is his name?
Solomon something.
Let me see, Winnington.
Now, I know people have exhausted this all week, but Wood Harris is such a fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah, he's been great for years.
Like, my sister hasn't watched the show, and I made her watch that monologue he had last week. Mm-hmm. We was telling that story about having big hands and how the dude's brother, he used to, you know, whistle, and he ends it by saying, well, I guess I'm away for the whistle. And I was like, whoever wrote that had their feet kicked up. That was like, yeah, I got one.
he's fantastic. I mean, it's, I guess, you know, they take dramatic license with that stuff. So it's all in fun. And those guys really, I mean, they won. I mean, it's funny how you can be so invested in that when you kind of know the outcome.
You know the outcome.
And it's just, but the way that they tell that story is fascinating. I like it a lot.
I've been enjoying that. Barry is back. I love Barry.
I've been enjoying it.
So talented, and it's funny, and it's interesting, and like thoughtful, and kind of emotional in ways that I did not. And that's the same for Winning Time. Like, Winning Time is emotional in ways that I did not anticipate. Like, I got emotional watching this fictional character of Dr. Buss of him, like, lose his mom.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, right. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, wow, this show is so ridiculous and over the top. And even that scene when he starts hitting on the nurse.
Yeah, he is a fucking savage.
Even that provoked an emotion. I mean, I was like, what are you doing? Like, I had this.
Part of me was like, what are you? All right. Okay.
I was like, ah, oh, come on. I was kind of disgusted. Like, oh, for real? You doing this? Like,
no, it was wrong. He was wrong. It was wrong.
Because G calls him out early on in the episode because she sees him.
Yeah.
Like, calls him out on it, and there's part of you that wants to believe that, oh, he's turning the corner and maybe he's redemptive, and then he gets in the car with her, and you're like, oh no, he's just who he is.
My favorite scene of the whole show was right now, currently is I guess it was a couple episodes ago when Magic and Kareem were Magic's dad and Kareem were at the table talking about, like, trying to figure out, talk about Magic. And he's like, his dad was like, I don't agree with some of the things the way he, but that's who he is. Like, it's genuine. It's genuinely who he is. It doesn't mean that, you know, he doesn't care about basketball, you know, like, cause he wants to win, and you can see that he wants to win. And then the racial stuff going on too, where it's just like, no, he's just that's just his disposition to be a happy, guy.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about this because we have this idea of what greatness is, right? That you, I get up and I'm working hard, and you know, the night before the big game, I'm focused.
Yeah.
And I saw a video of Giannis, like putting Oreos into these jars like a kid.
Yeah.
Really silly. And it's the day before game five of the finals where he ends up having a great game and then catching the game-winning alley-oop at the end.
Yeah.
So, you know, people look back and they, oh, Jordan would have been, you know.
No, that's just all the mythology and all that stuff. But I read Giannis's book and I had the author on the show, Miran Fader.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was real, like, it's a really good book. It's really good. And it just, oh, he prepares. But it's like, there's a couple moments in there where it's just like, he's a leader, but he's not taking himself that seriously. He's serious about his craft, but he's not saying, look at me do this. It's just the same way I feel about my work. You know, you take it seriously, but it's like, it's just what it is he does, you know?
Yeah, I'm playing a game. Like, I'm playing a game for a living. It doesn't be super serious all the time.
Because they get mad. They get mad when Minnesota celebrates when they win that play-in game, talk shit about these guys. Patrick Beverly's crying. You know, they beat the team that cut him and everything like that and said he wasn't going to be anything. And they win. And they say that these guys don't care about the game. What do you want?
Yeah. That's the want.
Say it again.
The want is criticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. It's not anything else.
Right. And I saw where JJ Redick this morning. Well, I saw it this morning, but I guess a couple days ago on First Take, he went in on Mad Dog.
He didn't really go in on him. He was just, did you watch the clip?
I watched a little bit. It was like 30 seconds I saw. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the Draymond stuff.
Yeah.
But he was honest about the language you're using is the language people use when they talk about athletes in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It's either he needs to just shut up because you don't like his attitude. Well, people are paying him to talk. People care what he has to say.
Yeah.
And he can't change who he is.
Right.
Relax. But did you see if they just apologize?
I don't know.
Dog, he called in the Mad Dog show and was like, you know, I had no problem with what JJ said, but the problem was, you know, there's some good people over at Fox News.
Oh, man.
I know. I was like, this guy.
Why did he do that? Oh, my God.
You know why he did. He's friends with them folks. He's hanging out. He like them. I remember when he got booted from ESPN, he was showing up on Fox News all the time. That's his people.
Oh, my God.
But when you add that up with the way he talks about Kyrie, the way he threatened Durant, it's like, man, what are you doing?
Kyrie called himself a fucking martyr. He's a jackass, man.
I love Kyrie.
He can hoop and everything, but God, I'm talking shit about a black guy. Maybe I can get on. Maybe I can get more lists and talking shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Chris Lambert slams Kyrie.
Yeah, they don't care. I had two episodes where I called Dear Kyrie.
I love Kyrie. It's just,
no, he's a fantastic basketball player, but he has this inflated sense of self that is just really weird.
You know, I imagine if I was a star since I was in high school.
Dude, there's other stars that don't act like
I know, but I can imagine that maybe I'm handling it differently. I mean, I handle life differently if that's who I am.
Maybe. But it rubs me the wrong way. But he's an amazing basketball player. I just think he thinks too highly of himself. He needs to just kind of... Now I sound like a fucking...
You sound like...
Now I should be on white. He should... He needs to just shut up and dribble. Yeah. If anybody needs to shut up...
The problem in the black community is people like Kyrie Irving taking them down.
If anybody needs to shut up and dribble, it's Kyrie. I don't give a shit about that. Just shut your ass up. He didn't come to work.
I don't know. He didn't.
He didn't come to work, man.
What about we didn't have chemistry? I was like, for real?
Yeah, you wouldn't show up to work.
So, but I am doing the playoffs.
I have not been watching yet. I've been watching. I don't know, man. I look at some of the coverage and stuff. I fall asleep to it.
Yeah.
Maybe this
week, you're East Coast, so It's funny because I was dad. Like, my dad would never watch any of the Lakers stuff. He was like, man, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you the story, but my dad, obviously, much like yourself, mm-hmm. quarterbacks, loves them all.
Oh, yeah.
Was Cleo Lemon, all in.
Yeah.
Love Dante Culpepper.
Cleo Lemon.
I'm not even joking. I wish I was joking.
Oh, I don't take that as a joke.
When my dad's born in Jacksonville, when Leftwich was playing for the Jaguars, it could have been Jesus out there if you'd have thought.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So, he was good though. Leftwich was good.
So here we are. USC's dominating. Mm-hmm. Dad's on the phone with me. Yo, that kid, that Vince Young kid, he got a.
Oh yeah.
All in on Vince Young. I said, but have you seen Reggie Bush play? My dad says, I said, I know you're asleep. You're not staying up till 10:30 your time to watch a USC football game.
Yeah.
Week, just stay up, take a nap, stay up and watch. And that was the game that Reggie Bush had like 500 all-purpose yards.
Wow.
So my dad calls me the next morning. He said, that boy is the truth.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Gale Sayers. And that's what he said. And I was like, I told you.
It's something about those games, though, because I remember when I used to care about sports, where I still care, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't care as much as I used to, but like those Pac-10 games, sometimes you wake up to them in the middle of the night at like midnight, you catch them when I come home from a show, like the past 13, 14 years, you know, you're coming back and those games are on, or Golden State was on when I'd be coming home from those shows, because I remember Rod and I would talk about this all the time. I used to use them in 2K, but now it's not fair. Like, you know, five or six years ago, it was unfair to play with them. But before then, I used to be into catching those late games.
Speaking of caring about sports, do you remember the first time you cried over a sporting event?
Did I ever cry?
We're talking about crying. We're not going to make it to Manosphere with this podcast, by the way.
No, I can't do that. And plus, I had an episode where I cried about my dad dying.
Listen, I cry about my parents passing all the time.
Yeah, but I did it on the podcast.
And then
when my uncle died, the 8 months prior to my dad, I cried on a Patreon episode.
Yeah, it's good for the soul.
Oh, yeah, it is good. But that's not enough to be a tough black guy. An alpha guy and have a big podcast. Man, that's a good question.
But while you're thinking, I can tell you mine. I remember like it was
okay.
Go. It was Oakland A's, the 88 A's. They got swept by the Dodgers, and it wasn't even the sweep. It was that Kirk Gibson walk off. Eckersley comes in. I'm like, oh, it's a wrap. Get this limpy dude out of here. We game one.
Yeah.
Cranked it over the fence. I was like, are you? I remember sitting stunned in my living room as a kid. Like, I looking around for help. And I cried. And I was like, I shouldn't be crying over this game.
I don't think I ever cried. Now, playing sports, I cried when we lost a game. I was in sixth grade. We lost. And then Then I got put on the bench from the rest of the season. But I played, but then I became like a Robert Horry type.
Just hitting threes all the time?
Yeah, I hit in a championship game. I had like 6 points in the championship game.
That's big.
So I showed up big. So, but yeah, I never really cried over sports. I would be sad. Angry.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Balling. I remember crying when Boomer Esiason and them dudes lost the Niners.
You should have known that was going to happen.
I didn't know, bro. We're sitting there, my uncle's like, oh, they got Joe Montana. I'm like, but ain't that much, in my head, like, there ain't that much time on the clock. And I'm watching him just surgical down the field. And I said out to my uncle, why can't they stop him? He was like, because my uncle, I mean, the reason I am a Cowboys fan is because my uncle and I both hate the 49ers.
Yeah.
And we're the only ones in the house who couldn't stand them. Living in Northern California as a kid. We couldn't stand. I hated the colors. I hated the jackets. I hated Montana.
Damn.
I hated him. I love Steve Young. It was weird.
That is weird because Joe Montana is like
sports.
Quiet. He's not like a douche. And you were in Northern Cali.
It was like because I couldn't avoid it. T-shirts, swap me T-shirts. You know what I'm saying? A big fake cartoon one with his face on it. Every kid loved him. And I was like, nah, I'm doing the icky shuffle in the end zone. We play football and I don't care. And Boomer Esiason became my favorite quarterback. My friend bought me she got me a Boomer Esiason signed football because I told her this story.
Huh.
Nice. She was like, she met him at some event and he signed it. I used to love him as a kid. That play action fake and all that, man, I thought.
Oh, he was great.
You would have told me he was the best quarterback in the league. With
Boomer Esiason. Former Maryland Terp.
Yeah. Then I watched him get murdered by Joe Montana in the Super Bowl when I thought it was over. I'm celebrating because I think the game's over.
Damn. Sorry, buddy.
Have you been playing any games? I know we briefly talked about some.
Oh, video. I beat Horizon Forbidden West about two weeks ago. I'm trying to figure out. I did. It was very good. It's very good. There's still more stuff to play, more like of the world to explore and all that. But like, I just wanted to finish the main story. I'm thinking about Zelda or.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I got Nintendo Switch, so I'm thinking about playing that or trying to finish up Metroid Dread. Dread's hard as hell, though. But
man, hard games are tough.
Yeah, so we'll see. I got a new controller, so for my Nintendo Switch, so I'm looking forward to.
Is it easier to play with the new controller?
I guess. I mean, I haven't tried it yet, so I've never hooked it up to the television yet. It's just been handheld.
Yeah,
I'd only been playing it backstage. I'm getting kind of an echo on my end. On your,
I'm not hearing it. I'm not hearing echo at all.
Okay, I guess we're okay. All right. See, I kind of hear it.
You still hear it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Take a second to figure it out.
Let me see. Hold on a sec. Let me pull.
MLB.
What have you been playing?
MLB The Show 22. Have you played that baseball game?
No.
It's fun, man.
I haven't played baseball in years.
Oh, it's fun. And and someone said this on Twitter, and it's so true. As far as sports games go, there's really nothing like hitting a no-doubt home run on MLB The Show. Like, the animation kind of changes, and it'll look exactly like Big Poppy, exactly like Griffey, or exactly like Juan Soto. Like, it's kind of crazy. They do a lot of little things. When you first get the game, Otani. I love Otani. Some Otani special pack. So get all these players, these diamond players for my Diamond Dynasty team.
Mm-hmm.
Very nerdy, so I apologize.
No, it's all, dude. Come on, man. You've been on this show before.
But you get a bunch of different players, right? You get to choose. So I chose. I was like, oh, Ricky Henderson. Back to my A. I love Ricky Henderson. I'm Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
As I pick. So when he comes up to bat, you can see like the gold chain tucked under his jersey.
Oh, that's dope.
I was like, oh, we done came a long way.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. The detail when it's Griffey, it's the shoes, his stance, it's all, they even nail the details of the park. Like they'll do, if you're in Fenway, they'll like between innings, they'll cut to and they'll show that little pesky pole in Fenway and people sign it. And that's on the game. You know, all these signatures all over it.
That's crazy. That's dope, man. It's the detail that they put in. Like you always, like I always get 2K and I never play it. Oh my God, they look so real. And then I just play it for like an hour and then just, I don't know. It's just my attention span. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I'm there's games. There's definitely a lot that I want to play. A lot that I have that I don't need to get anything new.
Right. I know. Same.
Yeah.
And this stuff, you know, I don't know if you use PlayStation Plus. It's all kind of stuff you can just go back, old games.
I do, yeah.
Play. So I'll browse through there. And, like, I was playing Vice City the other day. Just, like, riding around, hitting people with cars. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this, man. Let's get into this Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I guess I'll just read the Letterboxd blurb. And see where it takes us.
Yeah, the IMDb blurb is so wrong.
IMDb is not. Oh, let's God. See. Let me see what it. Oh, yeah, that doesn't seem that great. It's usually the Google blurb that's kind of this problematic. Bad. Yeah. Okay, let's do this. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Enter a new dimension of strange. Doctor Strange, with the help of mystical allies, both old and new, traverses the mind-bending and dangerous alternate realities of the multiverse to confront a mysterious new adversary. Timothy Hall, what are your overall thoughts on this film directed by Sam Raimi?
I thought it was really interesting and fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it never really stops.
Right.
It kind of just keeps, it literally starts like on the run and it kind of just keeps going and going and going. And then, you know, it's done.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Sam Raimi. I like his movies, especially his horror films. I thought there were elements in this film that reminded me so much of those movies. Like when Wanda is, what do they call it? Daywalking, nightwalking, whatever.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
What's the word? What do they call it?
Dreamwalking.
Dreamwalking. I said daywalking. Blade. When they're dreamwalking, that scene where you see like from Wanda's spirits.
Yeah.
That's 100% like Evil Dead, Army of Darkness. Like when the windows open and like the spirit comes in and she opens her eyes, it's the way the camera moves. If you go back and watch Evil Dead, like it's the same camera movement and everything. And I, as a horror fan, it gave me joy. Like, oh, they're mixing two of my favorite genres, comic books and horror films. And because like the first half of the film, and tell me if you agree or not, the first half of the film feels very much like a standard MCU film.
Yes.
You've got a protagonist, we've got this MacGuffin we're trying to get. We've got a villain, an unlikely villain, and there's a big battle. But once they get to Mordo and the Illuminati, it turns into like this kind of crazy horror film.
Yeah.
It gets terrifying.
Yeah. Like, is this, and I guess it's because it's Sam Raimi. Yeah. And the shots that you're talking about, and then the shots where Wanda is in the in her house, and then like the camera's tilting and all that stuff. I thought it was really slick, and it did add a sense of dread that I'm not sure we've seen that yet in this film. There's impending doom, but doom and dread are different things, you know, just the way that like this could be. We know the heroes are going to prevail, but this is, the lines are blurred, and Wanda is on a rampage because he's trying to get help. Go ahead.
Yeah. Are we spoiling this movie?
We're spoiling the shit out of this. I think I said that at the top, but we are spoiling this. So if you have not seen the film yet, don't listen to it, or listen to us when after you've seen it. So we're going to spoil this starting now.
So at the beginning, when America Chavez is with another variant of Doctor Strange, he's
Defender Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like killer.
Yeah.
And like the thing that he's like, I got to do this. I'm sorry.
Right.
Right. And Wanda, when she's like talking about her kids and they're like, you don't have kids. And she doesn't care.
Right.
Like, that other Wanda's kids. She's like, she murders people. People get murdered.
Yeah.
People die. She, when she gets to Carmitage, she starts killing people.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff didn't exist. And I think that's why I like that Raimi had this multiverse, because you can kind of do whatever you want. You have free license to do whatever you want, because the multiverse, you just flip it on its head, who cares? So I can kill people. I can kill this version of Professor X.
Right.
Kill this version of Black Bolt and Reed Richards. I can do all of that.
Yeah. I really dug it. I mean, anybody can get it. It's like one, anybody, it's almost like I always say this, I've said this a bunch of times on the show, like a BBC miniseries where you have somebody like, oh, that person's cool, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
They take them out. They don't give a shit.
I said that about BBC miniseries and like Korean films.
Okay, yeah.
They'll kill somebody and be like, oh wow, that guy was sweet. Or it'll end sad. You'd be like, wow, why did it end with this? Why didn't like that?
Now, when you saw this, did you see it with the general audience or were you with a bunch of your colleagues?
Both.
Okay.
The guy next to me was going crazy when they get to the Illuminati.
Yeah, there were people. Once I heard the reaction, it wasn't as big as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But it was still cool that those nerds acknowledged the cool shit that was happening. That, you know.
So it happened before that scene for me.
Okay.
He's like warming up to this big moment. Because when Rachel McAdams' character says she worked for the whatever Baxter Foundation. Like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
The guy's like, whoa. I'm like, oh, he's about to.
his seat's about to be messy.
Oh, man. He's about to make a mess in there. And then, you know, once the characters come out, it was Professor X coming out and they played that X-Men 97 in the score.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, first of all, nice tip of the hat.
Yeah.
So like he was like fully engorged at that point. He was like, oh my God. And then,
yeah.
Then Reed Richards shows up and it was over at that point. The guy, he might have passed out. He was like, But I enjoyed it because I like when people are like fans of things.
Me too. Definitely.
This dude was having the time of his life. And I was like, good for him.
Yeah, that's what it's about though, dude. Yeah. Like I thought. It made me feel good when all that happened. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, yeah. I did not react in that way, but I was just like, oh, I reacted. I enjoyed the people's reaction to those, yeah. You know?
For me, it was very much a horror movie setup. So it's her. Variant of Captain Marvel shows up. Reed Richards, Black Bolt. Who's the other person who was there? Oh, Professor X.
Professor X. Yeah. Tuning, what's the tuning fork guy? What's his?
the Black Bolt.
Black Bolt. Okay.
Black Bolt. And Captain.
Captain. Haley Atwell.
Captain Carter.
Yeah.
Captain Carter, right? So when it's this big standoff and they're not the main protagonist and she kills Black Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
Very horror movie way.
She yeah.
Says, his mouth is gone and his head explodes. I'm like, oh, she's going to kill all of them. Like, this is what
right.
This is her murdering all these people. And we're going to see. And I know what's coming because it's that horror movie setup.
Yeah.
Like, the biker gang shows up to confront Jason, or a bunch of guys show up to confront the Terminator, who are real tough guys. And they just get, it's to show how strong this character is. And they just get mowed through. I'm like, oh, we're going to. And the MCU doesn't do that kind of stuff, except for Thanos.
Yeah, right.
When they try to stop him, the story they tell about, because they're on Earth 838 or something or whatever, and they go to find another Strange to help them. This is America Strange and our Doctor Strange. Mordo is there, and in front of the sanctum is the statue of Doctor Strange, and it says that he died saving the world, defeating Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
What he comes to find out later when he gets interrogated by the Illuminati is that that's not how he dies. He kept, and this is the thing with Strange through this whole process. All the Strangers have in common is they're all very egotistical. Mm-hmm. So Strange thinks he can do all these things and control them, and he cannot. And after they use that book to defeat Thanos, so Thanos never snaps. He dies on Titan within this world.
Mm-hmm.
Kill him. Strange is software enough to say, I'm going to be the biggest threat. I'm going to keep doing these things. And you have to, and so Black Bolt kills him. But they said people need a hero, so he's got a statue. He's a hero.
Right.
That was fascinating. Because it speaks to like the same way Wanda's trauma is this thing that sort of has brought her through from Infinity War with Vision to WandaVision, losing her. I mean, we go back to losing her brother in Age of Ultron, right? It's all this trauma that's led to this one thing that I've had. I create this whole fake world because I'm so traumatized. Man, these kids, I hate them. it wasn't Vision. I just want this thing that belongs to me. Right. And she can't help that. And so for Strange, like, his ego is something that he just can't help. But it doesn't matter where he is, it's something he's going to do.
Yeah. Multiple
times, destroying universes. Like, but also, I just thought that was really fascinating. That's underneath all the comic book bullshit and, like, Disney, are these really interesting stories about who they are outside of the suits. I think that's always super fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think especially Elizabeth Olsen, I've been a fan of her since Martha, Marcy May Marlene. And
great movie, by the way.
Yes, and it's great movie. Just like she is, because I think WandaVision is probably one of my favorites of the Disney Plus series.
Is it like, was it through the whole series you felt that? Did it hit you at some point? Like, oh, this is it.
I think, now, did they drop the first two at the same time or the first three? How did they do that? So the first two, and I think I may have given it a couple of weeks. So I maybe watched three over the course of a weekend. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, I like it because I like her. So my interest is piqued. And then they're doing like the sitcom type thing, like the 50s, I guess, Dick Van Dyke type thing. And I was like, oh, this is neat. This is interesting. And I was with it. And then to find out that it's been her creation. And then there's a payoff if you've watched those, that show. And then if you're watching this, it's like, oh, but you don't have to have seen it, but there's more weight to the story. And it's more interesting. It's definitely more compelling to you when you see her in those situations where it's like she does, in her mind, that's what she believes. So it's like, he was like, yeah, I need your help. She's like, I'm going to get my kids back. I can't help you do shit. Because in the trailer, it was just like, yeah, you know, Wanda gonna give me some help or whatever. And she's like, nah, dog. Like, yo, this is what I'm after, and this is it. This ain't
you're in the way.
Yeah, and the pacing, like you mentioned, alluded to, like the pacing was really good. Like it's pretty much nonstop, and it was interesting all the way through. There were certain things that I mean. I watched a couple of videos before we started, but I'll probably go back and look at it again, but just to check on other different things. But I was able to understand it, you know. They had to get, but they, when you look at it on in writing, they say Vashanti, that Book of Ashanti.
Yeah, Book of Ashanti. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the early 2000s R&B star Vashanti. That looks really amazing in current day.
A Book of Ashanti is also very valuable.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it was really good. It was anchored by Cumberbatch and Olsen. I thought that it was very good, and everything else just was icing on the cake. But I could rely on them to really be, I don't know, the way that they carried those scenes to just really get me through it, because some of the stuff is like, we got to get to the thing and this thing. And it's like, oh, okay.
And they're different versions of themselves.
Right. Right.
Which is also fascinating. Like, there's different versions of Strange that we see. Then we've got two versions of Wanda we spend some time with, you know, and then Wanda, which is kind of wearing this face like she's okay and she's not.
Yeah.
This evil Scarlet Witch who's willing to do whatever.
And the What If episode, I want to go back to also. What did that add anything to this? Like,
yeah, there's an episode when he like starts messing with reality.
Mm-hmm.
And one reality where it looks like the things are dripping everywhere.
Yeah.
That's in the movie.
Yeah. Because I thought they did that really well, just the way that the orchestration.
Yeah.
Of Kevin Feige, just like it's amazing.
Yeah, they do good work.
It's what is it? Phil Jackson-esque? Is it Jerry Buss-esque?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they built the dynasty, and you know, they can sort of be self-contained and run through all these stories. And we're down to like C characters that they're turning into names. Like, that's not easy to do.
Yeah. And what about this America character? It kind of reminded me, we have to save America, you know, like, is that like the political aspect of it? Kind of reminded me of, I guess, the last Terminator, where the Latin
girl was like, she was going to be the one who saved the world.
Yeah. It's like, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Why was there controversy about that character? Because she had two moms?
Probably.
Because I just saw like a little blurb where it's like Benedict Wong said it's mean to talk about the girl, some shit. I was like, what? People are mad?
Yeah.
Just because her parents are, who cares?
Yeah, she's a comic character with parents.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah,
who's looking for her parents?
Yeah, right? That's the important part of the story.
I really like the special effects in this too.
Yeah. Like when she would open up that little wormhole thing.
Some of the best hand acting I've seen in my life.
Yeah,
really. The hand.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, they didn't even use their hands that much in Coda compared to this one. the way that they were selling that magic, man.
Oh man, they really selling it the whole time.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. What kind of format did you see this in?
Regular 2D.
Dolby was all sold out at the time I saw it in digital, and I usually like to sit all the way in the back, and I had a seat like in the mid that cuts you off the starting point of where you get cut off from sitting in the god seats that I like to call them, where you're looking up and stuff. I didn't mind that. Wasn't bad. But there's a nice AMC near me. So I you can't really go
wrong. That's your theater, your fancy theater you go to?
It's not super fancy, but it's just like, it's about 4 years old now, but all the seats are reclining.
Oh man.
And the theaters are nice. I don't really recline that much, but the theater's super nice. And it's one of those AMC dine-in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really cool. But, I'm trying to think of any other things that I wanted to ask you. So the zombie version, or I guess is that anywhere in the same ballpark of the zombie Doctor Strange from the What If, or is it just like Defender? It's just Defender.
Defender
Strange.
Dreamwalking into a dead body.
Okay. Okay.
We're gonna get a zombie. They're gonna end up in that world.
Mm-hmm.
When they're traveling with America Chavez, but instead it was that.
And the what do they call it? The incursion.
Yeah.
When two timelines intersect and it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And then that's why Charlize Theron is there at the end.
Yeah. The hell. Yep.
Who is she? What's?
I have no idea who that is.
Oh shit! She plays a character that he supposedly falls in love with. So they fix incursions. Oh shit! I thought you would know. So I gotta look it up.
I didn't know that was. Oh, happened shit. Real quick.
Some nerd is probably like yelling in his car right now. Oh shit! Because I can probably. If she look? Let me. I bet if I just look up Charlize Theron. If I just Google her. It'll be
she's this character.
Clea. Is it Clea?
Clea
Strange. Oh shit. Who is that huge character in Doctor Strange that, oh my god, I hate when these, an ad blocker. Damn it. Just let me. God. I think it's Clea. Yeah, it's Clea.
Okay.
And she's somebody that. So they fix incursions together and they fall in love. And I guess that's how he gets over Regina George. I mean, what's her name?
Rachel McAdams?
Yeah, Rachel McAdams. Is it Christine?
Christine, yeah.
People are mad as fuck.
It's Christine.
Yeah, they are. It is. I was just going to say people are mad. Like, what's the name of the film?
He's talking about Doctor Strange.
I dug it. I did really like it. From just somebody that enjoys the films, I really liked it. I'm trying to think of anything else that we didn't cover. I mean, we're not gonna do like Easter eggs and all that shit, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. The girl, what is America, what is she gonna eventually be? Just a sorcerer?
Not that I know. I never read her comics. I don't even know.
Okay.
I know who she is, but I never read any of that stuff.
Yeah. So. Trying to think of anything else. I don't think I don't have that much. Like I think people should go see it. I mean, we spoiled the hell. We didn't really spoil that much. I mean, at the base of it, Wanda want the kids that she really ain't got.
Yeah.
And why is that a bad thing? Because Wanda wanted those kids that she can't, that aren't really, don't really exist.
Mm-hmm.
She's like destroying everything. And why are they trying to stop her? Because she needs America's powers to get it.
To do it.
And she to go
to different multiverse to find different versions of her kids. She's sick, I can like travel to another universe that has a cure.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that was kind of like reminded me of that, like Terminator, a little bit of The Last of Us in there, him protecting and Doctor Strange. I mean, he did protect Peter. He tried to. He's got his ego's kind of got to be in check a little more, right?
After all this, but you know, not so after, you know, Infinity War and after, you know, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Oh, but no, I think it's just in him. It's just who he is.
And he gets the third eye at the end. He's corrupted now, right? Is it because
he had the Darkhold.
He had the Darkhold. And even though Wanda destroyed, she's not dead.
No.
Because they said I heard she just signed like a 7-year contract.
Yeah, she's like one of the most powerful mutants we've got. So
Becoming a really great character. That conflict. Yeah. Were her hands already black?
No.
At the end of WandaVision?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
It was a cool effect. It looked creepy.
It was extremely creepy. It was like that movie Hansel and Gretel. That came out. That was really creepy and and that witch had those hands. That's how that's one of the first times I think I saw something like that. I'm not a big horror guy, but it was just like, I was like, oh, she's really gone bad now.
Now look at her fingers.
And so she's not dead.
No, she's not dead.
And Doctor Strange is woke now because he's got a third eye. So he's gonna just start raising hell on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else I wanted to ask. I think that's really
it. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I think people will like it.
Yeah, it's fun. I almost wish. I don't know, dude. There's so much I mean, I used to see a couple of these like twice. Some of these Marvel movies I used to see twice, but it's so hard now. It's so hard to go back to some of these until they come out on video. I watched No Way Home. I bought it on Apple.
It's a good one.
iTunes. It was good. It was good watching it over again. I guess that's it. Are there any other films that you're excited about? I know we were texting earlier this week talking about a couple things. I mean, I'm really excited to see Men. With
Alex Garland movie,
Alex Garland and my girl Jessie Buckley. I can't wait.
Yeah,
looks like she's got a black husband in it that dies though.
Oh no, killed them all.
She hooked up. Natalie Portman cheated on her husband with the black guy in Annihilation, I think. And then Jesse Buckley's got a black husband. It looks like he's falling off a building or something.
Wow, that sounds terrible.
But and then these white guys are being really creepy to her. So that sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
I'm excited to see that. And on the count of three, Gerard Carmichael's movie.
Yeah.
I think that's next week.
That is next week, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like on BOD.
Do we get Kendrick this week?
We get Kendrick on Friday the 13th, I think.
Oh, man.
Double album.
Yeah.
That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm ready for that.
You listen to that on your break. Don't listen to that while you're at your desk, guys. You might get a little too hype. I like that new Yasiin and Quali joint.
They have the album's out?
It's out on Luminary.
Yeah, that's right. It's on Luminary.
Yeah, you got to subscribe to Luminary to get it. What are you excited about? I've talked over you. What are you?
Everyone has told me who's seen Top Gun that it's really good.
Is it late at the end of this month?
Yeah.
27th or something like that? Yeah. I'm excited. I love Top Gun.
Yeah.
Everyone, I love the first one. Yeah. I did see where AMC had you could see it on the Tuesday of that week and pay $30. I'm not doing that. I'll wait, Tom. I love you.
Yeah, I love you.
But I'm going to wait. I definitely want to see that. Hopefully in Dolby. It won't be as crazy as a Marvel movie, so I should be okay getting in Dolby. Yeah. So Top Gun, Men. On the count of three. I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything.
I can't think of anything else that I'm excited about, but... Yeah. Summer movie season, so we'll get flooded with the
books. Yeah.
Lightyear. Oh, Black
Phone. Oh, yeah, of course. Lightyear. Yeah, of course.
Black Phone with Ethan Hawke.
It was supposed to come out in February or earlier this year, but they, that looks good too.
It looks good. So,
there's some good stuff coming. Yeah. Well, Tim, plug some stuff. Plug your wares.
I don't have much. You can check out some of my movie stuff on the peoplescriticblog.com. Twitter, People's Critic, Instagram. That's about it. Our podcast coming back at some point. They're raising their beautiful young baby.
Yeah. Made in the 80s.
Yeah. So at some point, we're just waiting there. Yeah. Whenever they're ready, we'll be back in the mix.
Great. Tim, thank you so much for doing this. Everyone, thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.